You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Have you been carrying around a great idea for a book but are afraid to actually write the thing because you know that it's really hard to get published these days? Or maybe something else has stopped you? Well, whatever the reason, we have invited Sam Barry and Kathy Kemen Goldmark to our show. They are both publishing veterans and the authors of a humorous and very practical guide on how to get going called Write That Book Already, The Tough Love You Need to Get Published Now. It's published by Adams Media. And later we'll be taking your calls at 212-433-9692. But don't call immediately. Give us a chance to cover some of the questions you might very well want to ask yourself. Kathy, we've all heard stories about a friend or a relative who's working on a book or has a half-finished manuscript tucked away in a closet. Why don't people actually sit down and write that book already?
I think people are scared, and I think they need to know one thing, and that is that you can write your book in privacy. Nobody has to see it until you're ready to show it to the world. Unlike, for example, going out and playing music where every sour note gets heard by the audience, you can sit and write your book and rewrite your book and rewrite your book until you're ready to show it to others. And what our book does is walk you through that whole process of what happens after you're ready to show your book and share it with the world.
So at what point, Sam, should writers start showing their work to other people?
Well, you can start by, Kathy talks about that fear factor. And one thing you can do is start showing it to a few trusted people. And we would recommend you find some smart people. I mean, you know, you could show it to your mom and she'd probably say it's great. So maybe find a few writer,
about your mom.
But find a few critical, thoughtful readers who probably are also writers. Show it to them and start getting some feedback.
Well, I have interviewed a fair number of writers over the years, many of them married to writers. And when you ask them, do you show it to your spouse? The answers range from not until it's completed to, yeah, every day we go over it. So I guess it has to be what works for you. But I guess also if you're starting out, you do really need a lot more help than if you already are a published writer.
There are ways to get help that are pretty actually low cost and friendly. You can start a writer's group. You can take a community college class. Many libraries sponsor writers' groups, and you can just jump in and do a little bit of work and read it out loud, get the feedback of your peers, and take it from there.
Although that can work both ways, can't it? Writers' groups sometimes squelch a good idea because it's not like everybody else's idea.
It's true. I mean, Kathy actually can tell a story about being maybe the type of writer you are and in the type of writer group you choose.
Well, it can be a hard match. So I once was in a group of women writers, all of whom were writing heart-wrenching memoirs about child abuse. And I write comic fiction. And I felt like such a jerk when I'd read my piece and people would go, oh, well, it's funny.
Very nice.
And that was it. You know? And so I left the group. But it can be a little bit of a trial and error process.
You want to find a good match. You also want to find people who are maybe up to or above your level. It's kind of like playing pickup basketball, you know, try and find some people who can show you a few moves.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say also, if you hear the same comment from, say, six of the eight people in your group, you might want to lose the six pages about the cornfield, you know, those lovely descriptions. If more than a couple of people tell you the same thing about your writing, it can be something to consider.
Now, what goes into knowing whether you have a good idea?
Well, that's a very good – I mean, there are lots of great ideas. So I would say there are more great ideas out there than are imaginable, really. The point is, are you the right person to write the book at hand? In other words, not everybody is the right person to write a certain book. Say it's about the prison system here in New York. Well, if you have no experience whatsoever with the prison system, then probably you're not the right person to write that book.
I wrote a novel once, and I realized now I'd bitten off a lot more than I could chew. And afterward, I thought maybe I should have developed some of my writing skills working on short stories. You can have a great idea, but if you're not writing brilliant sentences, people don't want to publish you.
Well, short stories, personal essays, there are a lot of different ways to get published, and there are a lot of ways to practice your craft, and I don't think any writing is wasted. I think that novel you wrote may help you write, you know, the most breathtaking second novel.
In my case, it taught me to move into talk radio, convince me that I should do something else.
Or, you know, I mean, I write a copy. I work in publishing, and I write copy. And one of the best things that's happened for me over the years writing copy is the experience of people saying, nah, it doesn't work, try again. Mm-hmm. Because it made me much quicker and much less vulnerable about the whole thing.
Much less precious, I think, about your writing. And you learn about deadlines and you learn about how that okay, I'll try it again.
Well, many people work best with a deadline. But if you're writing a book, those deadlines don't mean anything. You're going to write it until you've come up with the best possible book. So what is the role of discipline in all of this, and how do you impose discipline on yourself?
Well, there's one rule, and that is your book will not get finished unless you start it and sit down and work on it every day that you possibly can. So what does it take? It takes eliminating distractions. For some people, it takes putting an hour or two on their calendar every day, like the same as you would with a dentist appointment or a doctor appointment or going to work. For other people, it comes a little easier. Some people can write anywhere whenever an idea strikes. Other people really need to set up their environment and their time and place and music. And, one friend of ours who you know, Amy Tan, writes almost in a closet with headphones on. Others can write at the dining room table with family frolicking around. It's just really personal.
Another one of your friends, Stephen King, says his trick is to write 1,000 words a day, but his 1,000 words are a lot more sellable than someone else's 1,000 words.
That's true. And the main thing is write every day. Once you have a contract, let's say you have written something that's been sold, I would say then deadlines do matter because you want to meet that deadline. That's going to help you. Then you're in a business. You've made a contractual deal with the publisher, and you want to fill your end of the bargain, which is be the writer. You're on a team. Be the writer. Get it done. But as you say, before that point, when you're out there on your own and you haven't sold the book yet, you have to have that. You have to do this something like what Stephen does. You have to say, I'm going to write 2 pages a day, 1,000 words a day, something like that.
What about making sure that the place you're writing in is feng shui?
If that's important to you, I say go for it. I think it really depends on what you need. Some people can only write outside of their houses, so they go to a cafe where you're not in control of the feng shui.
Yeah, really. Then you can't get a table at the Starbucks because somebody's right, sitting there writing a novel. My guests are Sam Barry and Kathy Kamen Goldmark, authors of Write That Book Already, The Tough Love You Need to Get Published Now, which includes insights from some writers who do know how to do the thing, Stephen King, Amy Tan, Dave Barry, Scott Turow, Andrew Sean Greer, Meg Waite Clayton. It's got a foreword by Maya Angelou. I guess these are all your friends?
Maya Angelou is a dear friend. Some are good friends because we're in a rock and roll band with them. You know, the Rock Bottom Remainders includes Amy and Dave and Stephen. And others we know just from being around the world of publishing for really a long time.
And as you know, the publishing business, like any business, it's a lot of people know each other, and that plays a role in how this all works.
Now, the rules are different for people who are established writers and people who are trying to break in. Do you need to write a whole book before you shop it around?
If you're writing fiction, you do, if you've not been published before. I don't think Stephen King has to write a whole book at this point.
No.
But, you know, he shared a story with us about his rejections before he got that first book published. And he put a spike in the wall and put rejection slip after rejection slip on the spike until it actually was so heavy it fell out of the wall before his first book was published. So there's hope in these stories aspiring writers.
But yes, fiction writers generally, if you're a beginning writer, you're going to write the whole manuscript before you're going to be able to sell it. If you're a nonfiction writer, there are other factors involved, but it's basically a book proposal you'll want to come up with, which we describe in the book, and also you need to do some other footwork. developing a platform is what it's called in the business.
You can't just send a book into a publisher unsolicited, can you? Don't some of them have a policy of only reading manuscripts that have been sent in by agents?
I would say it varies. It varies from publisher to publisher, but the bigger publishers tend to really expect it to be through an agent. There are, but academic and smaller presses might take a direct submission.
So how do you find that agent?
Yeah.
We have a top secret trick.
You have a special pitch letter?
Well, no, not really. We have a trick for identifying the agent that might be right for you.
And you're on radio, Kathy. If you tell it here, everyone will know.
No, your audience has to swear not to tell anyone, okay? Let's say you wrote a murder mystery. You go to the library, look at other books by writers in your genre, and read the acknowledgments and see what agents are mentioned. And you'll see the same names popping up over and over again. It's rare that a writer doesn't thank an agent in the acknowledgments of a book. And then, you know, there's this thing called the internet. And you can go look them up online. Usually agents have websites, submission guidelines. You have to follow their submissions to the letter, write a great query letter. And at least then you won't be sending to a children's book agent or somebody who isn't interested in the kind of work you do.
What happens if among those guidelines is send in a check for a certain amount of money?
We're not fond of that policy. Most good agents will not ask you for money.
The way the agent should get paid in, at this point in the game and for a long time standing is they're going to take a percentage of what they sell for you. So I don't think if they charge you up front, it sounds like they're doing something else.
And they're taking a percentage of 15% or more?
Usually it's 15%.
I do have to tell you an agent story. I'm not going to mention the name, but a very well-known agent came up to me after I had interviewed one of her writers at the 92nd Street Y, and she said, "Leonard, I just love what you do. If you ever write a book, please send it to me." I said, "I have written a book. I sent it to you. You sent it back."
Oh, one of those embarrassing—
She's never talked to me yet.
Oh, no.
You were going to say, I'm sorry.
No, that's just one of those embarrassing moments in life. And that agent probably just stuck their foot in the mouth. But agents, you know, are always on the lookout for talented people. And maybe this agent feels like they just missed their chance.
Now, sometimes you can't get an agent. What about approaching editors directly using the same principle of noting acknowledgments?
I think if you get them really drunk first. Yeah. No, you can actually do that.
They do go into a slush pile usually, don't they?
Yeah. The problem is that there have been a lot of cutbacks lately in the publishing world. And all those assistant editors who used to go through and read the slush pile looking for the little nuggets of gold are no longer working. So it's hard. It's much, much harder to get a book bought over the transom is the term that they use, meaning without representation by an agent.
Right. I mean, that's where the agent, in many ways, the agents have stepped in and are filling the role of vetting the work first before publishers.
But there's another way to make literary agents and editors, and that is by attending a writer's conference. And that's another thing we recommend. There are some really good ones where you actually get to sit face to face. San Francisco Writers Conference has speed dating for agents where you go from table to table and you have 5 minutes to pitch your book to appropriate agents. And it's a way of getting to know the process and meeting some people.
Is it worth flying to San Francisco to do that?
San Francisco is a beautiful city.
Yeah, we love San Francisco. But there are actually in our book, I don't have it in my head, but there is a website that lists all the writers' conferences around the country. They do vary in style. Some are all about craft of writing and some are more business. So,
we love Squaw Valley Community of Writers. That's another favorite of ours.
A West Coast bias on our part.
Well, we live on the West Coast, Sam.
My guests are two people who live on the West Coast, Kathy Kamen-Goldmark and Sam Barry. They've written a book called Write That Book Already, The Tough Love You Need to Get Published Now. It's published by Adams. And we will continue our conversation and take your calls. Our number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. You can also leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. Later on in this hour, Ruben Blades on his role in Victor Nunez's latest film, Spoken Word, And in our second hour, before you head to the beach, find out how UV radiation affects your skin, creates suntans, and sunburns. All part of this week's Please Explain. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. We're back with Sam Barry and Kathy Kamen Goldmark. Their book, Write That Book Already, The Tough Love You Need to Get Published Now. It's published by Adams. What about self-publishing? We're seeing more and more of that. First of all, is it a good way to go?
It can be actually a great way to go if you don't care about getting your book in bookstores or getting reviews in the New York Times. My mother happens to be a very successful self-published author. But she had what Sam referred to before as a platform. And a platform means a lot of people who care about what you have to say and are going to follow you around and come to your appearances and buy your book.
Leonard, so why did
you
the publisher...
You have a platform, Leonard. This is a platform, actually, a show like this. I'm sorry.
Why didn't a publisher want to publish the book then?
She started out with publishers and got frustrated and decided she wanted to do it herself. She's written 27 books about health and nutrition. And at some point after having three or four published, she decided to strike on her own.
Let's take a call along these lines. Rob from New Jersey, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Leonard, how are you?
Okay.
I self-published a book last year, and interestingly enough, I've been getting some really good media attention on my own without a PR agent, without a PR agency. And a couple of agents have turned me down simply because they want to see the sales first. Before they take me on as a client, I guess. And is that typical of what agents look for self-publishing?
Well, what they're looking for is what they can sell to the publisher, and the publisher would be interested to see sales numbers. Yes.
I want to ask you: are you thinking of having this book picked up by a publisher, or is this for a subsequent book?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I'm a little confused about it because I've done a lot of research. I figure self-publishing is the way to go if I want to make the most money. But then I'm thinking I'd love to get it picked up by a publisher to help me market this thing.
Right.
So I'm sort of in a quandary, quite honestly, about it.
Can we ask, is it nonfiction or fiction we're talking about?
Oh, it's nonfiction.
If you self-publish, can you sell your book on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com?
Sure.
I'm doing it now, but the royalties are ridiculously low, and now I'm into e-books now, so hopefully I'll make up more that way.
I think you do need to demonstrate a sales track to sell a current self-published book to a publisher in what they call a partnership arrangement sometimes or re-release. If you're writing a new book and you want to use your self-published book as a way of getting an agent's attention, that's not a bad idea. But again, you want to demonstrate a sales track and you want to demonstrate a fan base or a platform.
Now, Rob, you don't have to answer this, but how much did it cost you to publish this book?
I lucked out, Leonard. I actually had a friend of mine whose mother owned a small self-publishing agency, so my cost was zero. But I looked into some of the online sites, Ex Libris, Lulu, and it's not bad. I mean, you can self-publish a book for like $500 or $600. But for me, the topic of the book, plus I have physicians, doctors involved to help me write this thing. I've created a platform, and now I'm just trying to get out there. So the cost was minimal, though, to get it published.
Well, so if you're selling the book yourself right off the stage, so to speak, you know, then, of course, you get all the money, and that's a great deal. But if you want it more widely distributed, at this point, we're going through a revolution in publishing, but at this point, it still would make sense to go with a traditional publisher if you want that wider nationwide distribution.
This is the same. Yesterday, we were talking about the record business, and the same thing applies. A lot of people are now doing their own records and marketing them. But if you want to break into the record business, you still have to go to one of the old line companies because they have the whole apparatus.
Well, it's hard to be good at everything yourself. You might be a terrific writer, but a terrible publicist, or not very good at cover design, or not a great editor, or you know, sometimes it does take a village to get a book as good as it can be. And that village is provided by the publisher. It's very hard to be good at all of those things yourself.
Shirley from Connecticut. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. My question is, what do your guests feel about having an editorial service that charges a fee of them to read your book and to give you some comments that you think might be above all the other comments that you've given. And then we'll work with you on some level, you know, to make the changes that they think are important.
I think editing is always a great idea, whether you pay for it or trade for it or have a relative do it. It's very, very important to have somebody else look at your work. In terms of paying for editorial services, I think proceed cautiously. Find out who the other clients have been. Ask them what they think of this person. I wouldn't just go in and give somebody a lot of money without doing that first. But you can get very good work done that way.
Another set of eyes is almost imperative.
It's essential.
Thank you so much for calling us. MJ left a comment on our show page. She says, Kathy mentioned writing a great query letter when you're reaching out to an agent. What constitutes a great query letter? I'm always afraid of getting too cute.
You can get too cute, but I think a great query letter, first of all, is one page long with a terrific opening sentence and a sense in the body of the letter of who you are and why you're the right person to write this book.
We have one actually we have a sample of one in our book that gives you an idea. But I agree with Kathy.
Well, if everybody starts getting the same letter, that's not going to be good.
You don't want to
use
villain
that
name.
Didn't you get one at Harper from somebody who had been in jail? And
I've kept some of them. I've gotten, like, one proposal was written on playing cards in symbology that none of us understood. I mean, you get all kinds of things, but keep it short and succinct and smart.
And a great opening sentence.
Well, that helps if you're writing a book as well, to have a great opening sentence, doesn't it?
It's kind of important.
We go now to Maureen from Highlands, New Jersey. Hi, Maureen, you're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking this. My question is, if you have a unique concept and you want to take advantage of writers' conventions to network and to put your work out there and see, you know, what kind of feedback it gets, but it's not completed yet, so you don't have it copyrighted, can you feel secure in that setting at one of these writers' conventions?
Well, you can't copyright an idea, for one thing. You can only copyright a work as written.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say, I have a great idea, I want to copyright it.
Okay.
But I think people get a little too hung up on this question. I think how you execute the idea is much more important than
I agree with what Kathy just said, and with this caveat, that sometimes people do steal ideas. I'm not going to say that never happens. In fact, but don't get too hung up on it. Just do your very best work and proceed with, you know, if you're really scared, you can reveal some of the idea without giving away the shop.
Right.
And things are changing also in this world of blogging. I don't think there are that many top secret unique ideas anymore. Anywhere.
That's amazing.
We're all wearing our hearts, our ideas, our thoughts on our sleeves these days.
And that's true.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but it is.
Well, again, so, you know, publishers are looking for ideas that are well expressed by the right author. So remember that if you've done your homework, you're the person to write this book. That makes you pretty unique right there.
Okay.
Thank you for calling us. My guests are Sam Barry and Kathy Kamen Goldmark. Their book, Write That Book Already, The Tough Love You Need to Get Published Now. It's from Adams. Sam, with so many titles to market and publicize, how can you ensure that your publisher will give your book the care that it deserves? I have a friend who took years and years to write a book. It was with one of the great publishers. And then he complained that he was only on two talk shows, both mine and another friend's. The publisher had done nothing to get him on because they were putting all their energy behind a famous writer who also had a book coming out at that time.
This is a common complaint. Big publishers put out a lot of books, and then a list or a season of books comes up, and there does tend to be a focus on the ones that look like they're coming out of the gate strong, and you may feel like you're getting neglected. There is no guarantee, but one thing you can do is plan ahead for that eventuality by hiring your own publicist.
If you want to, or you want to hear another top secret trick that everyone has to promise not to tell, and that is, be nice. send a present. Send your publicist a big box of chocolates, right, a week or so after your book releases. If that hits at 3 p.m. in the publicity department, they will never forget you. That's going to be more effective than whining or complaining.
It's a little bit of a crapshoot.
It's whining and dining instead of whining and complaining.
Exactly. Whining without the age. But the thing is that it is a little bit of a crapshoot. You have to just keep going, write more books, you know, make a career out of being an author.
Can you get any response if you start going on Facebook and Twittering and doing all those other things? Or are people mostly annoyed that you're... somebody who's a friend in quotes is suddenly bugging them about something.
We are all over Facebook and Twitter, and both Kathy and I have met personally.
Sam's better at it, actually.
But I should say we actually, all the publishers that I know of are now hiring people to do that, to focus on that world. It's really become a real force. It's no longer just a whim.
But again, people aren't going to just find you by accident on Facebook and Twitter. You have to find your tribe. You have to find your people, the ones who care about what you have to say. And then, yes, they will read your posts and respond to them and maybe even show up.
It seems to me the biggest problem is dealing with the disappointments that you inevitably encounter, those rejection letters, the bad reviews, even worse for some no reviews. You have included in your book some thoughts from several well-known authors, including Amy Tan, Scott Turow, your brother Dave Barry. Did he ever get a rejection review, a rejection letter?
You know, Dave started out just like everybody did. I remember Dave's early career, and, you know, he worked his way up from he had a little column in these small little papers, which I followed, called Ad Lib, and he made his way up just like everybody does. Almost everybody's experienced rejection, I think.
I think so. And I think it can be comforting to hear stories of people who've gone on to success after rejection.
A couple of people are calling in to find out how much money you can expect. You're not going to get a lot of money for a first novel,
are you? The greatest fiction in all of literature is you're going to be able to quit your day job after you sell your book. It's just unlikely, although we do hear the great stories of great advances.
You know, I would say
most writers who make it are also teachers, aren't they?
Or something.
Plumber,
they have a day job.
Well, you got to have that health insurance, you know.
You just don't become an author because you want to be rich or famous. It makes more sense to try and be a movie star.
Or dress well.
Become an author because you love to write, or you have a message that this is the best way to express that message.
Joseph from Ocean, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering for fiction writers with very little experience looking to break into the field, would it be better to focus on novels, which seem to be very marketable these days, as opposed to short stories, or is that person better off starting with short stories, getting some experience, and then trying to break into a novel?
You should do what you write best. If you feel more comfortable in a longer form, write that novel. If you feel like short stories are for you, do short stories. I don't think you should try to conform to what people are buying, but what your heart tells you you want to
write. But a novel is harder to pull off.
Yeah. If you want to write a vampire dog book, that might be huge, I think, right now.
Thank you for calling us. We go now to Richard from New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking the call. Over the past 10 years, I've written 12 screenplays and have been unsuccessful in interesting either a publisher or producer or an agent. And I've heard innumerable times, oh, you first should publish it as a book. And it's much easier then to get a film made. I would like to have your idea or impression of that statement. And that's it.
Since we know more about book publishing, we can guide you better through the process of how to do that. I don't really know if it's easier to get a screenplay picked up after it's been a book. Do you know, Sam?
I would hesitate to pretend I'm an expert in that. I know that it's a tough business getting a screenplay made into a movie no matter what. So we wish you luck with that. I think that you should do what you feel strong. You know, go with the strongest path. In other words, what you think you know how to do best.
Well, are any of those screenplays easily adapted into novels? Or obviously, you got an awful lot of dialogue.
Some stories are, the problem being that I do not consider myself a novelist, but a screenwriter. And the genres are significantly different.
Yeah, yeah, hugely different.
You know, the Squaw Valley Community of Writers Conference that I was talking about before does have a screenwriting component. And you might want to check that out. It's a juried conference. You have to apply with a sample of your writing to get in. But those folks might really be able to help you with this.
Just one more thing before you go. Sam, can you tell us about your blog, Author Enablers?
We blog about this kind of subject, these kinds of questions, and try and answer them as intelligently as we can for bookpage.com. And we have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, we do.
I want to thank the two of you for being with us today. I've had a lot of fun talking with you. Sam Barry and Kathy Kamen Goldmark, their book, Write That Book Already, The Tough Love You Need to Get, published now. It's published by Adams Media. Did you have a hard time getting Adams to publish this book? Did you need an agent?
We did have an agent, and she did a great job and found us the right publisher. So we're looking forward to reading your book, Leonard.
Sure.